But this isn't a sitcom, Perry the Platypus. This is real life.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 80 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve. You and Mike joining me, as always, is Pecan Core Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today is the 80th day of summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN finally gets back to our new, quote-unquote, cartoon review podcast for 2021. Are you ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes. Yes, I am.
As of this recording, we have 24 days left of this podcast.
That doesn't seem like much.
Nope. Not much at all. And hopefully, because this is the 80th episode, it won't take us three furbing years to get it recorded.
Furbing years.
Yes, furbing years. See? I fixed myself.
Furbing yay.
Yeah, because when we recorded...
Like a fine wine. A furbing yay.
Yeah, furbing yay. Exactly. Because when we recorded episode 59 of the podcast, which was a Candace party, we didn't do anything until from 2017 to 2020 or 2021 or whatever for episode 60. Because episode 60 was the season 2 recap, and I just... That thing was a monster to edit, and I'm just like, I've lost all faith in the world of being able to edit this properly, and I just let it languish for 3 years. That is not going to happen this time, folks, because this is episode 80. It is not a season recap. That'll come in episode 84, so there's that. Up first tonight, we have Doofapus. Oh, boy. Mm.
One exotic dragon fruit smoothie for you, and one for you.
I'm just saying, as a non-sequitur, a talking zebra just seems a little...
Forced.
Yeah, forced.
Mmm, the sweet taste of an unusual and exotic smoothie.
You know, this smoothie isn't really unusual or exotic. It's about as exotic as a staycation with Aunt Meryl.
But Buford's postcard said that she had a pool.
She has a patio.
Tomorrow we should work on Buford's penmanship.
Actually, most would consider dragon fruit to be rather exotic indeed. Known for its dazzling flowers, it is actually the fruit of several... What are you doing? Stop that. Stop that.
You know, Buford's kinda right. These smoothies are sort of exotic, but I think we can do better. What do you think, Phineas?
What do I think? Don't answer that. Guys, I know what we're gonna do today. I wonder what kind of smoothie Perry would like.
Change is afoot when Candace accidentally liquefies herself by coming in contact with Phineas and Ferb's device that turns solids into liquids. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz turns himself into a platypus to defeat Perry in battle, but finds it is harder than he ever imagined. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun. That's funny.
I think my favorite thing in this entire episode is when that super close-up with Doof is like, pretty cool, huh? Doof and Smurfs Evil Incorporated!
Well, hello, Perry the Platypus. Over here. No, here. Look a little more this way. What do you think, huh? I've joined you in the genus Ornithorhynchus. That's right, I am a platypus! Yeah, hang on, let me turn off the dramatic lighting. How did this come to be? Well, I'll tell you since you didn't ask. After years of being bested by you in battle, I decided to fight fire with fire. And in both cases, fire means platypus. And with just means with. It was simple. The best way to beat a platypus was to become a platypus. That way our skills would be evenly matched. So, after a couple of promising experiments and some intricate designs, I finally created the Platypinator! Pretty cool, huh?
I think that's my favorite image. Like, I might actually turn that into my profile picture after this recording, because I just love Doof as a platypus.
I actually thought that was horrifying. Doof as a platypus is just nightmare fuel. That is just really awful. It was fun, though. I mean, we get to see a nice fight scene. It seemed like it dragged out for a long time, but it was entertaining. They were very evenly matched. Unless there's two of them.
I mean, they're platypi, so, I mean, they each have tails, they each have arms, they, you know, have bills or beaks or whatever they're supposed to be, and, you know.
That's right. He's a semi-aquatic mammal of action.
Mm-hmm. Semi-aquatic evil scientist of action,
apparently. That's good stuff.
Yes.
And this really hit home for me.
Did it really?
I'll tell you, because I will often find myself as the first president washing a ton.
Oh god,
this is the best! I'm like, I didn't expect to find my new favorite dad joke, but here it is.
And it's not even a dad joke; it's a poor mom joke.
Poor mom joke. Washing a ton. I am in charge of the laundry for the house, so every weekend it's like, you know, the most thankless, unforgiving job. You know, over and over and over again, washing a ton, like the first president.
Yes. Too bad, you know, 44 presidents later, we'd be really screwed.
We're not gonna get too far into that.
No, we just get out of it, huh? Ready for 46, folks.
You know, the comedic timing on this episode seemed off.
Did it?
Yeah, I mean, well, normally, you know, they don't beat you over the head with a joke, but this time it's like they would literally stop and look at the camera for a second. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Look at the quotes here where he says, Phineas is like, I think we should try something a little more. And Ferb goes, foul? And he goes, yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's like, this joke is just seems to be dragging out a little bit. Trying to think of another good one. They were, Phineas is talking about the talking zebra. Talking zebra seems a little, and Isabella's like, forced? And he goes, yeah, forced. Yeah. I'm like, all right, it just seemed like the timing was off a little bit with the, almost like the, like they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough lines, enough space. So they said, you know what? Just pause a little, talk a little slower. Ad lib a little bit. Maybe we'll add it in later.
Yeah. And what was really forced and what was, you know, beating them over the head, especially at least in our watch through of it on Disney Plus, since we already covered Second Dimension.
Yeah.
Phineas says, Isabella, you want to go next? Why, yes. How about a romantic dinner for two? Want a sip, Phineas? Oh, no, thanks. Oh, okay, I understand. You know, you want to keep yourself open to other drink options. I'm like, are you kidding me, Isabella?
We're just, exactly. And by the time he's like, I don't like zucchini. And I'm like, oh, my God, this joke is about 5 minutes longer than it needs to be. Yeah. Just dragging it out. Yeah, so I'm glad that I'm not the only one that picked up on that. I really felt like this one needed a little more agency, let's say.
Yeah, I just thought that specific exchange with Phineas and Isabella, and I'm like, huh? Really? That's where you're going with like, come on.
Anyway. Come on. We all know you're cute. Settle down.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the best part about this is Doofenperry. The A plot is nil, and other than Candace liquefying herself, Candace she really didn't.
Herself into a puddle.
Yeah, Candace didn't do anything.
No, she's a puddle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny is like there's no A story barely. In a little bit, we're gonna get into an episode that literally has no A story, and it's all better for it. So maybe we could have passed completely on Candace turning herself into a puddle.
Yeah, I think like they were trying to reveal things like again, with the Isabella and Phineas thing, like, again, trying to say, hey, you know, what's going on, you know, kind of thing. Like, hey, do you realize that I like you?
Yeah.
And then later, you know, we have the revelation of the fact that apparently Buford has molds of all his friends. I'm like, wait, he has molds of everybody, including Linda and wait, what?
Yeah.
Because Linda says, Buford's got molds of all of us, canned. And I'm like, huh? Yeah,
it's just like that's normal, you know? What's funny, it's like, how does he do that? You know, do you just wake up and find little bits of silicone in places that you wouldn't expect to find little bits of silicone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like somebody drugged me and molded me in the middle of the night.
Apparently, this episode marks Stacy's birthday.
Yeah, but they don't say exactly what day it is.
True.
We know it's sometime after 1990.
Yeah.
Place themselves. Did you get the feeling that, like, that entire exchange there was kind of ad-libbed?
Yeah.
He's like, something about my couch. And it's like, we all know Perry pees on couches, but.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it was a conscious act. But then we literally have this 5-minute exchange between Monogram and Carl that feels forced and ad-libbed. Yeah. Maybe that was it. Maybe that's why they were commenting in the beginning about certain lines feeling forced.
Right.
And this seems like the rest of the episode was almost like a practice exercise. How forced can your lines sound?
Yeah.
The time is now, they're gonna do their dance. No room for negotiation. One's got a hat, neither has pants, but there bears no further explanation. I think you know what's gonna go down. Yeah, there's gonna be a platypus throwdown. Fight, fight, there's a platypus fight. It's a fracas, it's a fray, it's a model tree melee. If you're watching at home, there's a 7-second delay. Fight, fight, there's a platypus fight. It's a duck-billed duel, it's a beaver tail battle. Fight, fight, there's a platypus fight. Gonna smack you so hard that your teeth are gonna rattle. It's a platypus fight.
What is this thing? Some sort of souped-up techno-geek camera?
Yeah. What are you going to give this one, unless you had anything else you wanted to bring up?
No. I had a puddle joke, but that's just wrong. I didn't dislike it. I really enjoyed the Doofopus bits, so I was going to give this a 3 for...
Yeah, if Doofopus was not here, this would get his... close to a 1 for me, but I am also going to give it a 3 as well.
Actually, I think the best, not the best part, but the surprising part was the duplicate Doofenshmirtz shows up at the end.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, definitely a 3.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, up next is some giant robot with weapons. What's Megatron doing here? I mean, the guy turns into a gun.
We shall rise again.
But yes, we have Norm Unleashed.
Hi, Phineas. What you making?
Sawdust machine?
Nope. Take a look.
Oh, they're adorable. What are they?
They're nanobots.
Nanobots? Can they be programmed?
Sure. They can link up in virtually infinite configurations to make just about anything you can imagine.
So, impress me.
Okay.
Yeah, main title, whatever. but I think I see the potential. Like, you could use them to make a giant birthday paddle.
Or a telescope.
Or a giant birthday paddle and a regular-sized cheese grater.
Or a scratching post for... Hey!
I'm way ahead of you, Isabella.
Dun, dun, dun.
Candace finds it difficult to bust Phineas and Ferb when her brothers build nanobots that can assemble into any object they can imagine. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz has jury duty, so Norm takes over the day's evil scheme to destroy Danville by using weapons. Weaponry!
That's the best song.
Yes.
I wouldn't say the best song, but it's a catchy song. It gets stuck in my head. I really enjoyed that scene. The lyrics are funny.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a typical, this is what we're doing right now, and we're describing it song. I mean,
yeah.
It was in a certain sense, but it was really funny.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
Norm has gained sentience and decided in seconds that the human race must die.
Yeah, that was a little dark, Norm.
Well, I mean, I think... every city needs to be attacked by a sentient killer robot at some point.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Mm.
It just... I don't know.
Did you notice that the nanobots, when they first start messing with the nanobots, they recreate the scene from the intro?
Oh, yeah, the hello. Yeah, I mean, Buford even says it. Like, main title, we get it. Buford calls it out directly. He's like, main title. What else you got?
That's funny. No, I didn't catch that part, but I saw that they were what they were doing, and then they didn't stop doing it. They kept doing it more, and I'm like, okay, well, we're dragging it out a little bit, but that's okay, sure. It's like it's a sawdust machine. They made it out of dust. And kudos for using the word technomimetic in a sentence.
Yeah, exactly right. That is true.
What are you reading?
So the funny thing for me in this is I wasn't sure who it was off the top of my head. I just kind of recognized the voice. So in this episode, Doof has jury duty and he's trying to get out of it.
Right.
Sadly, he can't get out of it because it's partly his fault and he and Dr. Diminutive end up in jail together. The judge is voiced by Gray Delisle Griffin.
Oh, really?
Yep. I knew I recognized her voice. I'm like, hey, it's Daphne as a judge.
Gray is in like everything.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, she's fantastic, so.
Yeah. But generally, she's like background additional voices here. But
yeah.
It's nice that she has an actual character.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's weird that Norm basically opens up into various compartments where he has things. Like, Norm's essentially a hollow shell, folks. He's got a squirrel for a heart. He's got a TV inside of his brain. So, Doctor, like, that was just creepy.
His whole head just opens up and a TV pops out.
Yeah, his whole face opens up. I mean, you are what you watch, but come on.
That was a little creepy.
That was a little.
I feel like they were going for like a vendor type vibe here where, he can open up his chest and there's storage space for beer.
Bender. Yes.
Well, Bender's head never opened up, but I'm sure there's a TV in there somewhere.
True.
We end up using nanobots as weapons and I don't know, I got a Green Lantern kind of a Green Lantern vibe here is. I think I've said that word like 5 times. I'm not sure why that's in my head. It's a top of mind word at this point. But he's like making stuff with nanobots and they're yellow, so it's not quite Green Lantern-ish.
I mean, it is, and how he makes them that they're he's not using his own free will, but just the way that the machine is used, kind of thing. I can kind of see the whole Green Lantern thing.
Yeah.
And is it just me or is it something wrong with the animation, or am I just going crazy? Because when Linda is making fun of Candace, she's like, okay, Candace, you know, normally you bring me one story, and then she goes into this, you know, Candace impression. Her teeth look all wrong. Like, it just...
She made this weird rictus grin.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh!
I did notice that.
What are you doing, Linda Flynn Fletcher?
This creepy rictus, like a zombie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did notice that, and I wasn't gonna say anything, but
I had to. It, like I said, I don't know if it's an animation thing or if it's it was on purpose, but creepy.
All right, gang, let's get technomimetic.
Yeah, very, very creepy. And I love how later she says, okay, Candace, you be the beautiful mother and I'll be the crazy doll. And I'm like, oh my God, really? Okay, then.
Well,
where is Lawrence in all of this? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this episode would have been much better with some Lawrence in it.
It needed some Ritz.
Yeah. Absolutely. Other than the song... And other than the jury duty part of it, it wasn't my favorite.
Doof ends up in jail with Dr.
Jabez. You quit playing that harmonica!
I just thought that was funny. And he's like, yep, I'm gonna break out of here any second now. It's just gonna happen. And it didn't happen. It's like, this episode is weird.
Yeah.
There's no Nader, there's no...
I mean, technically, Norm is the innator, but yeah.
Oh, I guess, but not really. He's not. I don't consider him an innator. Doofenshmirtz Sable
Incorporated. Welcome, Perry the Platypus. Would you like a muffin? They're fresh and yummy. Muffins stay warmest in here, close to my heart. You must be here to see Dr. Doofenshmirtz. I'm sorry, he's not in right. Whoops! Incoming message.
Well, hello, Perry the Platypus. Sorry I couldn't be there to capture you personally. I was called in for jury duty. But no big deal. I've got the perfect get-out-of-jury-duty-free card. Relax, it's totally legit. Meanwhile, I'm leaving Norm in charge, the big lump. Hey, try to make yourself useful, Norm. Would it kill you to show some initiative?
Show some initiative? You never asked me to do that before.
Your blast radius today, so surprise me, why don't you? Try not to be a complete disappointment.
But he does get vanquished by an acorn.
A technomimetic acorn.
Green Lantern acorn. Green Lantern. He's like, oh, how do I beat a giant robot? I need giant robot dancing girls to distract him while I punch him in the face. But no, he creates a giant acorn instead, and that makes the squirrel in his chest burst free, and he loses power and dies.
It's a good thing Norm doesn't have a self-destruct button at the bottom of his foot.
Well, that has been a problem in the past.
I know. What are you going to give this one?
I was going to give this one a 3 for Norm's awesome weaponry song.
At last, my ultimate weapon is complete. Would you like to see it? Get ready for a surprise. It's me. Dr. D will be so proud, assuming he survives the cataclysm. Have a nice day. La, 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 weaponry. It's the way to get it done. Weaponry. It's effective and it's fun. If you want to make them fall on bending knee at your command, bow their heads and swear that you're the leader of the land. State your wishes in a language they all understand. With weaponry, that's the plan.
If power's on your shopping list, then use the elbow and the fist. Pummel 'em until they get the gist. Just make an example of, representative sample of, and most of them will not be missed. You can beat them up by any means or blow them all to smithereens. A favorite of this sentient machine. Never mind the fatalities when there's municipalities to crush a set of with the threat of weaponry. We'll inspire Dr. D. Weaponry to have confidence in me. If I'm gonna be a conqueror and win my father's love, I'll take it to the people with the eagle, not the dove. If there's one thing that obedience is symptomatic of, it's W-E-A-P-O-N-R-Y, weaponry. From above.
Two and a half.
Woof.
The rest of it is just too much. Too much of...
Ow.
And here I thought, going into the closing of Season 3, because we're at Episode 80, and we hit Episode 83, will be the last episode of Season 3. Here I thought that we were getting some really, really good episodes, and it seems like today's episodes are just kind of... We like certain parts of them, but so far there hasn't been a whole episode.
Just that get we a little phoned in.
Yeah, and I'm like, I get it. They were on all kinds of weird production, not weird production schedules, but, you know, stringent production schedules and getting things done and whatever. I don't want to say they're running out of ideas, but I think coming up next is an idea that kind of takes the cake, and it is a whale of a cake.
Oh, this is so weird.
Oh, here we go again. He's going to tell the story of when he was abducted by aliens.
It wasn't an abduction. It was an encounter.
Encounter?
Yeah, I was walking out in the woods one night with my lucky tambourine.
You had a lucky tambourine.
This whole story is ridiculous.
No, it's not. I have proof.
Oh, here comes the picture.
See? I named him Tristan.
That is just a flamingo.
Tristan is not a flamingo. He's from outer space, and he's a whale mingo. But then he had to go home, and I never saw him again. Hey, what are you doing with your hands?
Mocking you.
All right. I'd be angry, but I admire your honesty.
It's beyond weird. So up next is When Worlds Collide. No, not the Power Man 5000 song. God damn it. When Worlds Collide. After discovering that a strange planet is hurtling directly towards Danville, Phineas and Ferb set out to avert a disaster while Buford looks forward to making contact with its alien race. Candace cannot bust them until midnight due to... signing a contract known as the Bust Accord. Oh, God.
That is awesome.
So she anxiously waits until the time comes. Meanwhile, Dr. Doobenshmirtz uses a sphere attractinator to try and steal the world's largest ball of twine.
Who doesn't want one of those in their backyard?
Me. Thank God I don't have a backyard to put it in.
It's twine. You never know when you're going to need twine.
I mean, really, the only twine I want... has a giant black boat and an old guy in it that says...
Now pay attention, 007. I've always tried to teach you two things. First, never let them see you bleed.
And the second?
always have an escape plan.
Well, who doesn't want a giant ball of twine in their backyard?
The only kind of twine I want came out in 1999. The World Is Not Enough, with a big black boat and an old guy who creates the gadgets that says, "Now pay attention, 007. I've always tried to teach you two things. First, never let them see you bleed. And the second, always have an escape plan." That's the only twine I need, because the world is not enough.
Wow. Okay. Is his name Twine? I'm confused.
The movie letter to short.
Oh, the world. Oh, it's the acronym. Okay.
The acronym. Yes. There you go.
I get it now.
That's what I was looking for.
The world is not enough spells twine.
Twine.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only twine I want.
I recognize that reference after five solid minutes of not understanding what the hell you're.
Well, I didn't have the information right in front of me. How often do I get to make a James Bond reference in a Phineas and Ferb podcast when it isn't actually a James Bond parody episode?
I was going to say, there are several James Bond parody episodes, so you get more chances than one would think. Oh, well, this is fun, though. The backyard sleepover. There's new costumes for everybody.
Yep.
Everybody's got like their hoodies and their light jackets, and it seems like summer is kind of bleeding into fall a little bit, and they're all kind of hanging out in the backyard to look at through the telescope. Oh. And I mean, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, cool. I love that they have the telescope that does all this weird cool things and can find stuff and everything else. And, oh, hey, look, the milkshake bar.
The milkshake bar. Well, you know, it's nice that they finally got that deep space telescope without having to remove the Earth's atmosphere to get it.
Yes. Thanks for nothing, Baljeet.
Yeah, it's like, we've been thinking about this for a while, and I think we've gotten past the whole removing the Earth's atmosphere to make it work.
So a couple podcasts ago, I mentioned something about jump rope.
Okay.
Something to do with an episode I thought we already covered or whatever, or it was some sort of thing in Doof's lab. This is the episode. The double Dutch thing is what I was talking about.
It's a double Dutchinator.
I understand that, but the double Dutch song and them doing the double Dutch stuff, that's what I want. Whenever it was, way back during the big laundry days of whatever episode that was, you know, a couple weeks ago, a couple days ago, I don't know, whenever it was. It was like somewhere in episode 74, 75, or 76. It could have been 77, 78, 79. I don't know. But I had mentioned to you something on one of the episodes about jump rope and a scheme about jump rope. This is what I was thinking about, was the double Dutchinator.
Yeah, I did not remember that, oddly. It was interesting that there's two songs in this one. I mean, you've got the Buford singing about Tristan the Whale Mingo.
Yep.
And this is a perfect example of why Buford should not sing. Remember that last time he sang and I said, "Wow, I hope Buford never sings again," or something along those lines. And here we are. He's singing again.
You know, like I said before, when they were doing Frenemies, the Frenemies song, I like the two of them singing together. I like the two of them singing together because they're playing off of each other. I think that's great. I love it when Buford does the good King Buford song in the Christmas family Christmas special. I like that, but it's when Buford and Baljeet sing together that I like it. When they sing by themselves, I'm not a fan, and I'm less of a fan of Baljeet's screeching than I am of Buford's bad singing. I'm sorry to the voice actor. I'm really sorry, but I just don't like the character singing.
Well, like, Give Me an A? That's like the best song ever.
Okay, yes, but that was like when he was, you know, not thinking about it, not trying to analyze it, not trying to get an A. He was just, rebelling against everything, and he was letting his angst out.
His song in the second dimension movie.
Which one was that?
The only one he did. It's when trying to pass between dimensions.
Oh, that's forward, not really. That's easy. Easy. Yeah, no. That's okay. There are plenty of songs.
That's the best song.
No, there are plenty of songs that I bring up to you, like yeah. all of the Love Handle songs that are in the best episode ever, Delivery of Destiny, and you're like, those aren't songs. The Baljeet song in Second Dimension ain't no fucking song. Yeah.
It's almost a limerick, really. I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
who wants one of those?
Yep. No one's supposed to belch you from Nantucket. What else? We saw a giant planet full of Whalemingos.
Yes,
that was funny. I mean.
I guess it was funny. I don't know. I don't
understand. The planet is hurtling toward the Earth, and they solve the issue by making a giant spring. And the spring draws in, you know, as it constricts, it's pushing. The planet is pushing down into the Earth just far enough for Buford to find his long lost Whalemingo friend. I almost said lover because it seems a little romantic here, but yeah. I don't know exactly what happened between this whale and Buford, but they seem to have a love connection there.
Where's Chuck Woolery when you really need him? Oh, wait, didn't he get canceled?
I don't know. Is he still alive?
Chuck Woolery? I'm pretty sure.
Well, don't look it up now. I don't care. I'm just saying. I haven't heard from him about anything about him in a long time. Yeah, so you know what? The other throwback to this episode, the Innator and the Invention kind of tie each other up and disappear each other. And that hasn't happened in a long time. That was kind of the staple of like season one.
Yeah.
As the A story and the B story kind of tangle up in the end and the Innators and the Inventions or something will cancel each other out, and they both disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened again, and it was very gratifying.
Yes, it was. And because we are recording episode 80 on 311 Day, March 11th, we are actually a week away from Chuck Woolery's birthday. He was born March 16th, 1941.
Is he dead?
He's 79. He'll be 80.
Yeah, he'll be 80. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
So alive. That's kind of cool.
It's kind of sad that he's still alive, but Trebek isn't. Oof.
Yeah. Trebek went younger than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Sad.
All right. Anything else to say about Whalemingos and Buford's unhealthy obsession with them?
He sings about them and gives them names. I like this episode. I really enjoyed aspects of it. I'm prepared to give it a 4.
Really?
Yeah. Sticking with it.
I'll give it a 3.5, only because the song is kind of catchy.
Which one?
Whalemingo.
The Whalemingo is catchy.
Yeah, you know, Whalemingo is catchy. Double Dutch is annoying. I wanted to destroy that Innator after 10 seconds.
Was the Double Dutch the Innator, or was it just something that was hanging about? You know, because I think it was a separate Innator.
Yeah, there was a separate. Oh, God. That made me look it up again.
Don't look it up. But I don't think the song. I don't think I liked the Double Dutch song as much as I liked like the montage that was going on at the same time where Doof and Perry were both caught in it and were kind of. They were fighting, but they were jumping and they were.
Yeah.
Gyrating and flagellating and such. And it made me laugh. It was funny to watch.
Yeah, it was the actual Innator was the sphere attractinator.
But the
Double Dutch machine was just something he had in the background to trap Perry or something or other.
Yeah, it wasn't even a trap.
I understand that, but he did. They both got trapped, and like you said, they had to basically double dutch fight each other. But yeah. If the double dutch machine didn't have a soundtrack with it, sure, fine, great. If it was just as instrumental, I'm sorry. Whomever that female's voice was, I'm sorry. Even if it was Greta Lyle, I am so sorry. That was annoying as shit.
Wow, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to it again because I don't think I hated it as much as you did.
Yeah, you might have to go back and listen to it again. Go back and
listen to it again. I don't know.
Don't do it now.
No, I'm not gonna. Well, you know, I was upstairs on the big screen watching the Disney Plus with the family, and you know, I didn't have the ability to rewind and re-listen and stuff. Remember when you said you're gonna watch it on Disney Plus? I'm like, all right, fine, I'll watch it on Disney Plus. So it's nice that we can watch it on the giant screen.
Told you, that's the whole point of having a giant screen and paying for Disney Plus.
Exactly. You haven't seen Phineas and Ferb until you've watched it on an 85-inch screen because it's like a life-size canvas. You know?
It's like a life-size Vanessa, which is missing from all of these episodes. So all of these episodes get a half a grade lower.
It's no Vanessa. We're going to get you a Vanessa pillow. It's like a big body pillow with a Vanessa on it.
That's what the TV's for.
Oh, never mind.
Ferb, I know what we're going to do today.
A quilt? No way! I mean, I know it's been a long summer, and you guys are running out of ideas, and
that's okay, Buford. You don't have to hang with us every day.
No, I'm in. I don't want to play alone. I'll turn into a cat kid.
What's a cat kid?
It's the kid version of a cat lady. Quick, somebody say, where's Perry?
Where's Perry?
You're always there for me.
Finally up tonight, the road to Danville. When one of Dr. Doofenshmirtz's innators zaps him and Agent P into the middle of nowhere, they must embark on a comical journey filled with twists and turns to return home. Okay.
Yeah.
Again,
teleportation could potentially change the world. Nobody seems to care. It's like, literally beam me up, Scotty. And it's not being used for potential good.
Yeah. I'm glad this episode was all Doof and Perry and had nothing to do with anybody else because they're making a quilt. And even Buford points out that they're running out of ideas at this point.
Well, it was funny. I didn't realize that they were even in the show
until the very end. And yeah, they're like, exactly. Like,
yeah. Who would have thought there's so much quilting going on, and everyone else is like, oh my god, that's, what does she say? I'm never gonna get that day back again, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was Isabella, and it made me laugh because it's like, holy cow, we went through this whole episode and I don't remember seeing them. Mm-hmm. In fact, I kind of want to look back at the wiki here and see if there's, it says the road to Danville. Yeah, I want to look at and see if they even have the running gags. Oh no, there's the I know what we're gonna do today. There's a Ferb line. There's a where's Perry? Quick, somebody say where's Perry? That's funny. Yeah, but then none of the other ones are in here.
Yeah, no.
I know what we're gonna do today, and a quilt. No way.
Perry didn't go to the lair, so no monogram, no Carl.
Yeah, I was kind of tired of them after that last one episode. It took like 5 minutes to get to the lair. It literally took 5 minutes to get to the lair, and then another 5 minutes to talk to Carl about some couch in the 90s. And it's like, you know, I think we're done with them for right now. We can skip them this episode.
I think the best line out of this episode is Doofy, 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 Doofenshmirtz.
No, it's Doofy, 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 Doofy.
No. Doofenshmirtz.
He said Doofy, but he ended it with Doofenshmirtz.
No. He says Doofy.
Oh, he said Doofy. He's doing the Perry song.
No, he's doing it as himself. He says he's doing it to the tune of the Perry the Platypus theme song, but it is Doofy, 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 Doofenshmirtz. And
enjoying the shade, Perry the Platypus?
It's your jetpack. I found it stuck in the mouth of a fiberglass dinosaur. I mean, how often does that happen when you really need it? Well, I'm aboard. Come on, come on. Doofy-doofy-doofy-doofy-doofy-doofy-doofy-schmerz!
1 minute to curtain.
Looks like Doofy's in no-show.
I have selective hearing. That's not what I pulled out of that.
Well, according to the, you know, almighty God that we bow down to.
Yeah, I am going to buck the trend here and say that that is not what he said.
I honestly think
he was singing the doobie doobie doobie. No. But, you know, that's fine. That's what the wiki says. You can go with that. I'm not going to rewind it.
And besides, I heard it. Oh, you're going to hear it because I'm going to put it every 10 seconds in this episode at this point. So you'll hear it, damn it.
You can link it. Link me back. Hey, you know, I realize I can be testy and unpleasant and I can go on and on and on. It's totally me. He was talking about me.
Right. Sure he was.
It's funny because he just... kind of, I don't want to say he just whines and complains the entire time in the desert, but he kind of does. And it's funny to listen to him whine and complain the entire time, as one does.
Yeah.
It's good times. Yeah, I don't know. It's like they're lost in the desert. There's even a Lost in the Desert song.
Yep.
And, oh, you know what? Rodney makes an appearance.
Yep. Because he's like, I got to get back before my understudy. I hate that guy.
Rodney, the understudy. It's like, I want to lead a life as an actor and not be an evil scientist. And the feasibility of this happening is actually tied up in whether or not I can get back and stomp on Rodney.
Yeah.
I don't think it pans out for him, though.
No, it doesn't, because, you know, he gets hit by pizza delivery.
Well, that I think that was the line.
That is the line.
He's got, like, one line in this play, and it's like, this play will change my life. And he gets in there, and he has one line, and it's pizza delivery.
But he doesn't even get to say it, because he screams pizza. All of a sudden, Doofenshmirtz falls in on him. Oh, that was the other thing I loved about this. At the end of it, I actually have this screenshot somewhere. I'm going to have to change my Facebook, whatever, anyway. But when they finally get the turbo thing working, because Perry straps them in more, and he's like, okay, hit the turbo switch. There's this super
close-up.
Yeah, this is like super cool, super close-up of the two of them flying through the air. Yeah. I love that image. That is so friggin' cool. I've got to find that thing.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
There was a lot. Well, you know what's interesting? What I got out of this, I was going to bring this up later, but I'll bring it up now.
Okay.
It's actually no. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the later right now. First, I'm going to say I was going to give this like a 3.5 to a 4. Okay. And the reason is, now we'll get into it. But the reason is that there's a lot of self-discovery here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of character development that we don't normally see in Phineas and Ferb.
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's not like character development, like, oh, this must be Stacy's birthday. It's character development, like Doofenshmirtz taking a hard look at himself and,
right,
and how, you know, how he treats Perry, or the fact that, you know, he carries the conversations between the two of them because Perry doesn't talk.
Right.
And then you've got Perry almost like a motivational speaker who's, you know, he's annoyed with him. He's annoyed with Doofenshmirtz, but at the same time, he's very supportive. You know, he's like, you know, you got this. And, you know, it's like, he's like, you think I'm the problem? And he turns his hand back and says, look, this is you. You're the problem. You know, you're your own problem. You're your own worst problem. And then Doofenshmirtz finds out that, you know, he's right. This is all on me. I'm the worst problem. And then at the end, he's like, wow, Perry, you really helped me. And I couldn't have done this without you. And then he again turns the hand back and points points the hand back at Doof and says, you did this. This is all you, man. You know, it's just very supportive. And it was very positive. And I hate to bring up this dead horse, you know, but it was as positive as it could be, in the exact opposite way that one episode was negative about the caustic, you know, bromance relationships.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a caustic bromance relationship. I mean, they have a weird dynamic, you know, because they're nemesises, but you get the impression that they do care about each other, and they're not terrible people. Well, I mean, aside from all the evil schemes and trapping and fights and punches.
But again, like we've said, Doofenshmirtz really isn't, he really isn't evil, because he can't succeed at any of his evil schemes. Even without Perry there, he fails at his evil schemes. So
all he had to do was climb a fence and get an axle.
You know? I know, right?
So yeah, it's not Perry's fault. There's more to it, you know. Just like Perry says, he points the finger back at him and says, "You are your own worst enemy. It's not me. You know, I'm just the nemesis."
Yeah.
But yeah, I would give it a 4 for that. I mean, they take the time to take an entire episode to really analyze their relationship and you know, boost each other up. And Doofenshmirtz even comes back and saves Perry. It looked like Perry was on his last leg there.
Yeah.
I don't think he had enough water. He was not looking like he was going to make it out of that desert alive. And
no.
And Doof is on a he's on an air conditioned bus. Oh, look, it's air conditioned.
Yeah.
And he gets off to fly back with the jetpack and save Perry. And yeah, well, I appreciated that. I really just liked that. You know, that display of, you know, how much they appreciate each other and their relationship.
Right. And that's the thing. The only reason why, like, yes, Doofenshmirtz is having, you know, feelings of, oh, I should go back and save him and oh, this and oh, that and whatever. Right. But here's the thing is that if they didn't pass by the pink and green, whatever the hell they are, he would never have. The reason why he stops and goes back is because he finds the jetpack. So once he finds the jetpack, he goes back. Like, if he didn't see that jetpack, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have gotten off the bus. I'm pretty sure. 99.9% sure that unless he found that jetpack, he was not getting off that bus.
He really wanted to get home and do that play. You know, but yeah, I have a feeling that he would have stayed on that bus.
He would have stayed on the bus to get home and do the play if he hadn't found the jetpack. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, but serendipity. He accidentally ran into the means of both of their escape.
There you go. And of course, now I can't find that picture anywhere.
You'll have to, bring it up in Disney and do a screenshot.
No, I have it. I'm looking on Facebook. I thought I put it on Facebook already. Oh. Of course, I do have the one picture you asked a couple episodes ago. What does Love Muffin mean? League of Villainous Evildoers maniacally united for frightening investments in naughtiness.
Investments in naughtiness.
So, yeah. And Santa Claus must really hate them.
I'm of the age that the word naughty means something else. So, well, so naughty.
You did work at that one magazine that one time.
That one time, yeah. But I think I put about 2 years in there until the .com bubble burst, and everyone decided that we weren't going to be rich. Ah, good times.
Could have just tried to embezzle the stuff from the old guy.
He gave us free magazines, so I thought we were even.
Wow. Okay, then.
You know, I was being exploited, but I got to meet a playmate, so it was cool.
It was okay.
Really, we're okay, worked. Old man. We're good.
That's funny. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back to close the show after this.
Phew, this whole evenly matched thing is exhausting.
How about we take a short break? Do you ever get tired of lugging this big tail around? I mean, sure, it's great for fighting, but it's kind of weird for sitting and stuff. I just figured I'd ask you, because, you know, you would know. A sugar or agave syrup? Here. I don't know if this is fur or really tiny feathers. I can't tell. It's so warm, but it breathes. Well, back at it, I guess. Fight, fight, there's a platypus.
Fight, it's a practice, it's a breed, it's a model. Okay.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DeCian.com. DeCian.com.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons, Jordan Optimus Solo, and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film, and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything exciting.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes flies can be so flighty.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but gonna find chaps our size.
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com and be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
You're going to pay for that Purple Monkey dishwasher comment. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send us email at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays at Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I have not checked, so I have no clue. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio. What is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time, when we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next two-parter of Phineas and Ferb in Season 3, which is Where's Perry? Parts 1 and 2.
Woof.
Woof. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening to us, Purple Monkey Dishwashers, and we will catch you next time.
I'll be washing a ton. This weekend. So much damn laundry.
See? This is why we need Doofenshmirtz's scheme, big laundry.
But wait, there's more!
What I learned with Faith... with Faith... Wow, I have no faith anymore. With Facebook... with Facebook, apparently if you tag too many people on Facebook, it basically turns your entire post into a tag and removes the post that you were trying to post.
Come on. Doofy, 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 Doofy
D.
I thought you just had to drink milk and sunlight, but, or, you know, I refuse to drink Sunny D. I'm sorry. There's no way in fucking hell I'm going to drink that nasty shit.
Sunny D is delicious.
Sunny D is about as bad as fucking Tang. Hell no.
Tang. Yeah. It takes you way back.
I know, right? I told you, I'm old. We're both old at this point.
We're pretty old.
Yeah, we're pretty old.
I'm looking for, like, sources of vitamin D. Let's see, site sucks. Where's another one?
Ah, well, I guess at least I'm back to normal. Me too. Oh, good for you.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.